Our reenactment of Jesus' triumphal procession into Jerusalem and our prayerful recollection of his suffering and death in that poignant reading of the Passion are rich enough to stand without the embellishment of a homily. Let me therefore simply make a brief comment to tease out some of the richness of these events. This weekend we celebrate Palm Sunday, but it is more correctly referred to as Passion Sunday, just as this whole next week is called Passion Week. Throughout these days, especially on Holy Thursday and Good Friday, we will revisit some of the climactic moments of Jesus's life. However, we need to be clear. Despite the many dramatic representations of the way of the cross that we might encounter, our aim is not to recreate the suffering and death of Jesus. We do not pretend for the space of these few days that Jesus has not already risen from the dead. Before this week even begins, we already know that Jesus, once dead, now risen, lives victoriously with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in heaven. Rather, our desire is simply to remember some of the signal moments in Jesus's passion and death. You may have heard me remark in a previous homily that I much prefer the Spanish word for remember. In English, the memory seems to be located somewhere up here in the head. I say, I call to mind some person or some event. The Spanish word, recordar, on the other hand, situates memory squarely in the heart. Recordar. Here is the core, the corazón. In Spanish, memory involves not simply calling to mind some person, but holding that person in the deepest recesses of one's heart. That's what we strive to do this week. We try to capture in our heart what Jesus thought and felt, as well as what he said and was done to him in that traumatic final week. But do not focus only on Jesus' suffering. After all, it is not suffering that saves the world, not even the selfless, heroic suffering of Jesus. Rather, what saves the world is God's passionate and unconditional love for us, the tender love of God that stooped to take on human flesh, the love of God that did not shrink even from sacrificing his only precious Son. That's what we endeavor to remember this most solemn Holy Week. Some of you might flinch at that thought, protesting that you are not worthy enough of such infinite love of God. You think, I can't accept God's love. I've never done anything to merit such heroic love. And you would be correct. In fact, there is nothing that any one of us could ever do to earn God's love. Nevertheless, as St. Paul categorically declares, God's love has already been poured into our hearts. While we were still weak, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What might help us to overcome our hesitation in surrendering to God's great love would be some sort of response on our part that takes into account the oft-quoted remark found in the Brothers Karamazov, where Father Zosima observes that love in action is a harsh and dreadful thing compared with love in dreams. That's what God hopes for from us this week. That our response to his love not be some stunted, scrawny offering of pious words or cheap devotions. God hopes that as we reverently consider Jesus humbly washing the feet of his disciples, and then enduring peaceably that sham of a trial, and then making his way resolutely to the cross, and all of this for you and for me, that Jesus's harsh and dreadful love might be matched by our love, however feeble, however costly, at forgiving the person who doesn't deserve our forgiveness, for example, or stepping out of our comfort zone to speak up for the refugee or the migrant, or simply acting more gently and compassionately toward the people we live with. Authentic love carries a cost, but love also makes that cost bearable. What will be the price of your love this week? How much will it cost you if yours is to be a love in action and not just love in dreams?